Well, as we continue in 2 Corinthians this morning, I want to begin with a couple of probing questions for us to consider right out of the chute. The title of our series is Transformation. The subtitle is How the Gospel Reorients Our Life and Ministry. So let me ask you, have you really thought about that? How does the gospel change your life? What is different since you have become a believer in Jesus? Are you changing? Are you being transformed? And if so, how? A few of you, like Deb Bainbridge and Randy Davis and some others, may remember that old Fellowship of Christian Athletes song from the late 70s and early 80s that we used to sing a cappella. At our Sunday evening meetings, it went like this. Things I used to say, don't say them anymore. Things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Bill Gregg used to just belt that out, I'll tell you. Our theme verse for this series speaks of becoming new creatures. Are you a new creation? Have old things gone and new things come? What is changing about you? In fact, might I be so bold as to ask this morning, how do you smell? Do you smell different? Our youth group here at Neighborhood Church is called ACTS. Do you know what that acronym stands for? It means Anderson Cottonwood Transforming Students. The idea is that our students should be more and more transforming into the image of Jesus Christ. And that should be true of our whole church as well. There should be a constant growth and change in all of us. Our reputation in the community should be more and more perceptible. There should be a fragrance, an aura, a pervasive quality that is undeniable. Our message today is entitled A Powerful Aroma. And it is amazing how a scent, a fragrance, can evoke strong feelings. Our verses today speak about the power of a fragrance. When Shelley and I were first dating and early in our marriage, she wore a perfume called Tea Rose that smelled so nice. It was just so attractive. Well, unfortunately, she became allergic to it. And all of a sudden, one day, the scent was gone. And I miss it to this day. On the other hand, when we met, Shelley was not a believer in Christ. Then one day, a few months before we were married, she trusted Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And for years and years now, the aroma of Christ has gotten stronger and stronger, and it just exudes from her life. You see, there's been a great change since she's been born again. I pray for each of us who are here today in this place to worship the one true living God, that we have not become stagnant and complacent. I pray that God is still working by his Spirit in each of us. The Apostle Paul said that he was always pressing on heavenward. Would you pray with me as we begin? Father, we love you and we come this morning counting our many blessings. How blessed we are in our possessions, in our freedoms, in our health and wealth, in our families and jobs, and most of all, in your unmerited love, grace, and mercy to us. Lord, we so often take so much for granted. We acknowledge this morning that you are indeed the blessed giver of all good gifts. We especially thank you for the most precious gift of all, salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, Lord, we also realize that some are encountering trials of many kinds. We pray for those still being affected by COVID. We pray for those in our church family who are suffering with difficulties in health in finances, in relationships. And we ask you to come to the rescue, God, to be their hope and help and refuge. We pray too for many who we know who are not yours yet. We pray for the opening of eyes and the softening of hearts, that even this day you might draw people to yourself. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your holy word. As we attend to it now, we ask that you would speak to us in a powerful way through the Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there is a blue insert in your bulletin. If you'd like to pull that out, you can follow along with us today. Today we approach what I think is one of the great passages of the New Testament. It comes as an almost spontaneous outburst from the Apostle Paul's heart to counteract a sense of failure and despair which he was feeling in his ministry at the time. We get the background of that in verses 12 and 13. We're in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 17. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, it will also be on the overhead. And also, it's on the back of your insert. We're going to begin with verses 12 and 13. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. So after Paul left Ephesus for Macedonia, he came to Troas, which was in modern-day Turkey. He anticipated hooking up with his co-worker, Titus, with whom he had sent his first letter called the Cheerful Letter or the Sorrowful Letter, which many believe was 1 Corinthians. It appears that Paul was having some success, that there was some receptivity to the gospel in Troas. But when Titus failed to show up, Paul's spirit was not at rest due to his concern for the Corinthian church. So he continued on to Macedonia, probably to Philippi. He was waiting there for Titus to return with news of what was happening in the church at Corinth. He must have been gripped by a great sense of a personal failure that despite the visits he had made to Corinth and the letters he had written, things appeared to not be going well. In the midst of that sense of failure, pressure, and anxiety, Paul was given this great opportunity, but he could not lay hold of it, so he moved on, hoping to meet up with Titus. Now, we need to remember that there was no email or texting back then, so the word traveled very slowly, and it was evident that he was impatient to know. Before this, in 2 Corinthians, Paul had been speaking to the Corinthian church about his pressures and his problems and about the problems at the church in Corinth. He was actually giving them a defense of his ministry against some false teachers and malcontents who had been slurring him and his ministry. Paul had gone to Troas from Ephesus to preach the gospel of Christ. This was his great mission everywhere he went, to share the life-changing good news of the gospel. Wherever he went, he knew that he would find people sunk in despair, filled with darkness, with lives governed by fear and superstition. It was Paul's great joy to come with the good news of Jesus Christ, the healer of hurts, the one who had the power to touch human lives and transform them. Paul longed to preach the gospel. It was such a tremendous thing to see the power of God let loose among people and see them set free. Yet at this time, Paul is struggling, and his spirit is obviously burdened for the church at Corinth. As I said, a major theme of 2 Corinthians is Paul defending his ministry in Corinth and debunking the false teachers that had tried to defame him. It was a difficult experience, to say the least. Yet the joy of the gospel rings so clear in this next verse. In his distress, Paul turned his heart to thanksgiving. He changes his focus from dire difficulties to is great God. So let's look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. What a great promise. What a great fact. What a great truth that is. In spite of Paul's current struggle, he can't help but break out into thanksgiving and a powerful doxology. This outstanding cry of heartfelt thanksgiving to God for a powerful and effective ministry comes right after a verse in which he confessed his weakness, frustration, and despair. Have you ever had times where you wondered if you're making any headway in your faith and proclamation of it? I know I have. I've had a heavy heart at times when it seemed that nothing positive was happening. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a high school student gets saved, and God gave confirmation that the victory was being won. The triumphal procession was indeed happening. The powerful aroma was spreading. This term, triumphal procession, comes from the culture of the Roman Empire when victorious Roman generals would return to Rome after defeating another city or another people in a victory parade. The conquering general would ride through the streets of Rome in his chariot, preceded by numbers of priests who would wave incense pots of sweet, fragrant incense. Behind him would come the spoils of war, captured animals that would be sacrificed, and captives in chains who would then be executed. They were followed by the captains and commanders and the army itself. The streets would be filled with citizens, with people shouting acclamations. Well, you know, friends, in his kingdom, God is always at work, leading us to eventual victory as we are spreading the good news like a contagious disease, like a beautiful fragrance. For Paul, preaching the gospel is like leading a triumphal entry. So again, that question arises, how do we smell? Paul says that as we walk with Christ, we are to spread the fragrance of Christ. That's your first blank this morning. I want to highlight two key words in this verse. The first is the word always. God doesn't win some and lose some. He is always triumphant. His will is always victorious. God is the leader and author of it, but we get to be part of that triumphal procession. What Paul is saying here is that he and his companions give thanks because they are victorious soldiers with Jesus as the victorious general in this triumphal procession. He and his ministry partners are always led in triumph in Christ. It will continue until the end of this age. So our second point is, we are to always spread the fragrance of Christ. I had a teammate in college who first introduced me to the aroma of Christ. He was a smiling, humble, satisfied, joyful human being, and his scent inevitably and unavoidably drew me to God. I wanted what he had. He was kind and compassionate. He smelled really good. When I came to Anderson for my interview at Anderson High School in 1975, as I drove into town from the south from Chico, there was this horrible stench over here by the freeway. That I told Shelley about it and later learned that it came from the mill. Do any of you remember that smell? Oh, it was not attractive for sure. However, in Anderson, there was also this city on a hill called Neighborhood Church of Anderson Cottonwood that spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. There was such a sweet aroma that we were hooked from the very beginning. We were led in triumphal procession as we were drawn by the fragrance of believers spreading the knowledge of Christ all over. Paul and his companions spread the aroma of the gospel by preaching Christ and by being living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Paul's ministry, with all of his suffering and distress, had a purpose, which was to be the aroma and fragrance of Christ in this world. The gospel message is a call for people to no longer be captives to sin, but captives of Christ. Listen to Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now, it's not only critical that the aroma or fragrance of Christ is spread, it's also important where it is spread. It's not just to be a local deal, it's to be a global deal. That brings us to the second key word in this verse. The Apostle Paul, my friend Nick Bredo, and I would point out to you and would even have you circle the last word in verse 14, which is the word everywhere. The church is to be leading a triumphal procession, spreading the fragrance of God in Christ in Anderson and in Shasta County, and in California and the U.S. and to the ends of the earth. The church has a mission to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere, to every people group. As we contribute to invest credit for a van in Moldova, as we pray for and support the Odiambos in Kenya, as we go on short-term and long-term missions, we spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere. We exist to inspire among all nations an overflowing joy in God. We exist to spread the aroma of Christ both here and abroad to an entire world. Paul had one ambition in life. It was to go where Christ was not known and make him known. Listen to Romans 15:20-21. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. The Apostle Paul was a frontline missionary. He went to where the church was not yet established, to places like Corinth. He spread the fragrance of Christ to much of the Roman Empire. He set an example for us that we might be growing, transforming fragrance that spices up this world. We are to be salt and light, and we are to be it everywhere we can be. Wherever we go preaching the gospel, we spread the fragrance of Christ. God wants us to go across the street and across the ocean with the aroma of Christ. Do you know one thing that your pastors, Brad, Doug, Nick, Ryan, Eric, and I long for? We long for Neighborhood Church to more and more be a sending base of increasing numbers of missionaries to the unreached peoples far and near. We long to develop more and more visionary young people and restless mid-career people and wise, mature, retired people who will pull up stakes, pack up their bags, and go with Jesus and spread the gospel as an aroma of Christ to unreached peoples of this world. That is a dream that we have. There are some of you sitting here this morning whom God may be calling to be part of the fulfillment of that dream. Now, there's another aspect of spreading the aroma of Christ that we see in verses 15 and 16. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? The powerful fragrance of living by faith in obedience to God has an effect on people, both those who have faith and as well as those who don't. When the Romans conquered a city, the prisoners in chains would follow the conquering general's chariot, and the fragrance of the incense was an odor of death for those prisoners. But for those who were part of the conquering army and for the citizens of Rome who had been spared from a threat to them, that was a fragrance of life. So here Paul applies that to himself and to all who trust Christ. He says that he goes about preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus is alive and can free people and deliver them from their sins and troubles. This was everywhere a fragrance to God of the life of his son. Wherever Paul went, God could smell the sweetness and beauty of Jesus and what God was doing through Paul. Moreover, it was a fragrance of Christ to people both lost and found. So not only is the fragrance of Christ spread and spread everywhere, it spread among everyone. It will affect everyone. Friends, if we take on the task of preaching the gospel wherever we are, others will smell the aroma, and some will gain eternal life as a result, and some will hate us in our message, in our odor. Wherever Paul went, people were helped to discover freedom and life in Christ. That is, those who are being saved. The other result was that some people were angered and their opposition hardened and they were driven further toward death. They are those who are perishing. We must realize that there is a heart-rejoicing side, but also a heart-wrenching side to sharing the gospel. I've shared it with many who have not chose to believe. Are we willing to stand out to spread the aroma of Christ in spite of the trials and tribulations that we'll incur? Now, let me point out one important thing here. Paul ends this verse with a question: who is sufficient for these things? The answer is no one. If you're like me, you may wonder how I can spread the fragrance of Christ always and everywhere and among everyone. Well, Paul felt the same. And the answer is we can't. We are incapable of doing anything for God in and of ourselves. It is God only who can do it. It is Him dwelling in us in the person of the Holy Spirit that makes us able to carry that overwhelming fragrance. We can only do it through Christ, who strengthens us. God does it in us and through us for His glory as we put our faith into action and words. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Let me repeat that. Our sufficiency is from God. Yet I fear that there are many Christians that choose the path of least resistance. Many don't want to engage in the battle. They don't choose to rely on God's sufficiency. Some may struggle with the idea that they can't measure up, that they aren't smart enough, educated enough, haven't been saved long enough, not perfect enough. They need to remember that our sufficiency is from God. Remember, some of the apostles were uneducated fishermen. For some, maybe the security of a heavenly destination is enough, so they lack the resolve to be willing to suffer for the cross. spreading an odor that is sweet to some, but repulsive to many. Friends, the aroma of a transforming Christian can change another's life. It did mine. It can change a community. It did Anderson High School in the late 70s. It can change the world. Paul wasn't afraid to pay the price to be that perfume. Neither should we. The dominant theme here is that of triumph with the sweet savor of Christ being glorious and God being the victor. Let's take part in that triumphal procession. The perfume of Christ circulates among two classes of people, those who are on their way to salvation and those who are on their way to eternal destruction. They all breathe in the same fragrance, and it works either for life or for death. To the victors, its emanation is the present joy and a future security and life eternal. To the captives, it is defeat, condemnation, and an approaching death that leads to eternal separation from God. You know, the world in general was not impressed by Paul. Despite that, a great widespread testimony of the fragrance of Jesus Christ was going out. People were being set free, and by God's grace, his ministry was fruitful. It is a serious business, this spreading of the fragrance or the aroma of Christ. We don't want to spread cheap grace. We don't want to share false doctrines like some. We don't want to do it for perks that might come. Our concluding verse speaks to this. Verse 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Here Paul gives us a description of his ministry. First, it is in contrast to that of others with whom the Corinthians were acquainted. Paul does not tamper with the word of God. He does not water it down or change it to make it more palatable. There were those in that day, as in our day, who peddled the word of God like street salesmen, hawkers making a good living off of fake, false doctrines. The world is full today of religious racketeers who are doing exactly what Paul called here, peddling God's word. Just turn on the radio or the TV or pick up a magazine and you can find one with ease. One you can hear frequently is what we call the health and wealth gospel. In contrast, Paul shared the unmitigated word of God. He also shared it for free. He didn't make a living at it. Now, I might just inject here that there's quite a difference between a peddler and a shepherd. It is important that in sincerity we study and know God's word so we can be the aroma of Christ. Remember from verse 14, the fragrance that is always spread everywhere to everyone is the knowledge of God. It is the truth of the gospel. Paul says, we are not like those other guys. Paul is sincere. He practices what he preaches. He believes what he is saying. He does not preach iced tea and live lemonade. He is doing what he declares. This fragrance of Christ we are to exude is a lifestyle of being a captive of Christ, reading and heeding his word, participating in the fellowship of the church, serving others, praying without ceasing, and sharing the good news. It is a novel way of living. Next, Paul says that his ministry is purposeful. He says we are commissioned by God. In other words, he says we are not just sent into this world to enjoy ourselves and try to get through it and retire in a comfortable way. We have a goal to accomplish, sent by God himself. Listen to how he puts it in Colossians 1:28 and 29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. That was Paul's goal, which he never forgot, which he never swerved from. That ought to be the goal of every Christian, that we help one another to grow up and become mature men and women in Christ. Finally, he did so in Christ, Paul says. We speak in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he describes it as being ambassadors for Christ, with God making his appeal to others through us. Paul spoke with authority because he came as a representative of God to deliver a message that the world desperately needed to hear. So our final point is that as believers, we are commissioned to spread the fragrance of Christ. Friends, lost people need the truth. They need light in the darkness. We as believers are commissioned to declare the light in the midst of the darkness by proclaiming the truth of God, that people might be truly delivered and set free. There is to be a strong aroma about us. Neighborhood Church, as we leave this place today, let's go out and spread the aroma of Christ throughout our areas of influence. May others be drawn to the sweet fragrance that signifies a life being transformed by the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen.